Hi, good vach. This is Yisachar Wartel, and we are now up to Parshat Toldot. That's right, or Toldos, as I might say. And also happy Rosh Chodesh Kislev. I mean, it was, you know, Tuesday, but yeah, we're in the month of Hanukkah now, believe it or not. Yeah, time's moving fast. Also, I may have said this Dvar over 2 years ago, if so, I apologize, but even if you've heard it before, it's certainly worth hearing it again. But either way, we are going to be talking about the intriguing words and concept of Be'er Sheva, and I am only just barely scratching the surface because there's so much to talk about. Probably could be, you know, multiple shiurim could probably be given, like multiple hour-long shiurim could probably be given on the interesting, both seeming redundancies and conflicts and so much that's associated with the term Be'er Sheva, which is much less straightforward than it seems. But let's address part of it here. In this week's Parsha, there's a confusing scenario, which does carry over, actually, from an almost identical scenario 2 Parshas ago. So we actually have 2 quasi-repetitions, right? We have Avram going down to Avimelech, and the episode with Sarah being taken. And then we have the issue with the wells and the conflict with the wells after that. Same thing with Yitzchak, right? He goes down to Gerar with Avimelech, Sarah is taken, and then they fight over the wells, right? There are some slight differences, but the essence of the story is largely the same, right? So, you know, Sarah's taken, Avimelech is seemingly unaware, Avimelech is warned, then gives Sarah back and proceeds to bless Yitzchak. Very similar to what happened with Avram. And, you know, afterwards, Yitzchak, like Avram, became rich and successful, generated jealousy from those around him, and upon leaving Gerar, Yitzchak revisits the wells that Avram had dug, which were closed by the Plishtim, and he opens them anew. And the Torah writes that Yitzchak gave these wells the same names that Avram had given them. Okay, so far so good. And the Yitzchak and his men then proceed to dig and discover new wells, 4 of which seem to be mentioned, after which Avimelech then finds him and entreats Yitzchak to form a treaty upon they discovering a new well, which would be a 5th well, even though this well was called Shiva. So seemingly there were 2 other wells which are not explicitly mentioned in the text. So Shiva means the 7th one, even though by count it would be the 5th well. But okay, let's say it was the 7th well. The Torah states that this area was called Be'er Sheva, the well of Shiva, right, the well of the 7, or the 7th, because, oh, it's going to be Shri'i, so it's still be the 7, because of this well, which is quite perplexing for a variety of reasons. And Rashi indicates that the Sheva in Be'er Sheva is actually a reference to the pact or Shvua that Yitzchak and Avimelech made, in which case it's not really a well of 7, but a well of an oath. But this raises a couple different questions. First of all, although the root letters are the same, why must the Torah use the form of Shaba and Shiva, which both inherently have the meaning 7, whereas it's actually related to the word Shvua, right? So obviously the same, Shara, Shin, Bet, Ayin. But why specifically use the form of 7 if it's focusing more on the Shvua? And there's actually a deep mystical connection between the word Sheva and Shvua. One quick example, without getting into it, is that the concept of 7 is an oath or a testimony to Hashem's creation and mastery of the world, the concept of Shabbos and things like that. So it's beyond the scope of this talk for the most part, but there is definitely an inherent connection. Now, when Avram made the pact with Avimelech, Avram had taken 7 ewes, or some kvasim, as a testimony of their pact, so it's another 7, and a pact that seemingly only involved 1 well in dispute, although it may have been more since later it's listed Beirut in plural. Wells, and in this case, the pasuk explicitly states that the place was called Be'er Sheva because of the shvua that they took, right? So by Avram, it's explicitly mentioned because of the shvua, despite the 7 ewes. And here, it's seemingly named because of the well being Shiva, the 7th well, even though Rashi defines it differently. So we are therefore left with several questions. First of all, why was Be'er Sheva named at all by Yitzchak if it was already named Be'er Sheva by Avram? And furthermore, why seemingly give a different reason for its name, right? The Torah says it was named because of the shvua that was made between Avram and Avimelech. And here it says it's named because of the 7th well. Also, how many wells were there truly overall? Like, the count seems very confusing the way that the Torah depicts it. And also, how does that connect to our shared root? So it's important to point out that by Avram, the Torah writes, Okein karalo makom hahu Be'er Sheva. Therefore, this place was called Be'er Sheva. But by Yitzchak, the Torah writes, Al-Kain Shem Ha'ir Be'er Sheva. Therefore, the name of the city was Be'er Sheva. That's a noticeable difference. In the first instance, it was called Be'er Sheva. So there's 2 differences. One, the Shem Ha'ir, and one Shem Ha'Makom. Another one is Al Kain Kirah, therefore it was called. And the second one is Al Kain Shem, therefore its name was. Yitzchak is redigging of the wells and therefore continuing Abraham's legacy. It didn't create something new, but rather refreshed and reaffirmed what Abraham had established. Therefore, it doesn't say Al Kain Kirah Ha'ir Be'er Sheva. It says Al Kain Shem Ha'ir. Therefore, the name was Be'er Sheva, right? Not that it was just now Be'er Sheva because of what happened, but it really was Be'er Sheva even before from Abraham. It was what Abraham had established. And by Abraham, it wasn't the number of wells that mattered. And yes, there was other symbolism, but the symbolism that a well carried in of itself. The quarrel in the place took seemingly over one main well, which commentary explains is more than just a physical well, but also a quest for spirituality, certainly from Abraham's perspective. One must dig to find the true meaning, and, you know, mimes connected to, you know, water is connected to Torah, and just the concept of thirst and putting forth effort. Avi Melech and his men saw something physical, water to quench and meet their physical needs, perhaps a territorial dispute as well. But Abraham saw this for something deeper, both literally and figuratively. Right? He understood the metaphorical meaning of a well and what it could represent in terms of its vitality and its Torah essence. He therefore undertook to bring seven ewes representing the mystical number seven, since he knew that the number seven was enhanced, was connected to two things. One, Hashem's mastery over the natural world. And two, it was related, and Avram was a master, possibly even the author of Sefer Yetzirah, was a master of understanding the roots of words and letters. And therefore, he also connected this concept of Sheva to Shvuah, meaning the oath. Another question we could potentially present is why Abraham brought female sheep rather than male ones. Perhaps that indicated a fruitfulness or perhaps a kindness, since Abraham was a man of chesed due to their milk giving. Or perhaps it's connected maybe to Hashem's presence, which is the Shechina, which is often attributed to be feminine in nature. But the primary word for sheep is ksavim, even though sometimes it's kvasim, that's a separate thing, even if it's female rather than kvasot. And kvas ksavim, or ksavim, either one, is numerically equal to, you guessed it, shin bet ayin, sheva, which is another double symbolism. And in of itself, for some reason that I don't fully understand, the word for you, not Y-O-U, E-W-E, a female sheep, can either be kesev or keves. And so that's also in another duality that's present. And furthermore, that root can also sometimes mean a lamb and not necessarily a female sheep. So there's a lot of dualities and confusion going here. And he also is implying that there's a lot of duality in the world, right? Avri Melech, you just see a physical well. But I always see two things operating at once, right? I see a physical well and the spirituality it symbolizes. Now, although the Torah tells of Abraham digging this one well, in a parsha it speaks of Abraham wells in the plural. Now, the simplest would be two wells, and combined with the four Yitzchak found, we now have six, which means that the seventh one, or the fifth one by Yitzchak, was really the seventh one. So when Yitzchak finds another well, it brings the total to seven wells, and hence now there was an additional representation of the number seven by Yitzchak. And therefore, that was almost like a completion, even though the Torah says that this was based on the seventh well being number seven, it also was almost a completion of the initial Shvuah that was set in motion by Abraham. Now, interestingly enough, although the concept of seven alludes to Hashem's mastery of the world, it specifically pertains to the natural order and the natural order of things, which can easily be perceived as chance or random. We know Hashem hides himself, even though to us it may seem very obvious that Hashem is running the world, but you know, it depends on where your eye, so to speak, is, right, where your focus is. The way to reveal the true nature of things is to look at the additional non-physical three spheres. So it's a concept that I've mentioned a couple times. Basic Kabbalistic concept, there are 10 spherot or mystical emanations. Without really getting into what they are, they're subdivided into sets of a seven and three, and the seven represent the seven lower ones, which also correspond to everything else that's in a set of seven, and then the higher three, which are either Keter, Chachma, and Bina, or more commonly, Chachma, Bina, and Dat. So ultimately, seven and three together yield a total of 10, which is an overall completeness and mastery over all of creation, both the physical and the spiritual. And therefore, it's understandable that the word or terms, Be'er Sheva, is numerically equivalent to Asara, 10, or Ha'eser, depending where you want to put the hay. Yitzhak also established this place of Be'er Sheva as a reminder of the eternal promise that Hashem gave to his father. So it wasn't just the Shvuah he made, again, it's not a duality, it wasn't just the Shvuah that he made with Avimelech, but it was also the shvuah that Hashem made with Avram and Yitzchak. It's the promise or oath of a continued legacy, as we see in the words themselves of Be'er Sheva, because here's one more gematria for you. Be'er Sheva is numerically equal to Beini u'beinechem u'bein zarecha, between me and between you and between your children. We recall this promise every seventh day, every Shabbat, on the seventh day. And we hopefully can now have a legacy that we can continue eternally with our children. May it be our will that we have an amazing, uplifting Shabbos that brings us closer to Hashem, and that everything moving forward is only goodness with uplifting positivity. Shabbat Shalom.